Tereo Ererangi o Te Mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
This is Bold Women on the Move, the show for migrant women making their way in New Zealand and across the world. With your host, Moreni Ke. Welcome, welcome, dear listeners, to another episode of Bold Women on the Move. And it's a program, you know, your favorite program. Yeah, we've been around for a while. We just old conversation with migrant women about migrant women and about issues that pertain to our lives that affect us. Today, we want to continue with an episode we started last time. I don't know when that will be for you because you maybe have just finished listening to the previous episode. You can catch up with our episode on Plains Media, Spotify. Look for Bold Women on the Move and you're able to get our past podcasts. Now, we started a series that we called Now That We Are Here. The project is born out of the burden to hold conversation and provide information, education to migrants, women in general. Although this podcast and conversation generate mostly around New Zealand context, we do believe that most migrants around the world will benefit from this conversation. So, back to today's guest. Dr. Afsat Ahmed is also still here with us today. We started a conversation on what changes mean to a migrant woman, what challenges we faced, and how we can cope, you know, with challenges. And she did mention that one of those key challenges is in the area of career. And this affects our life, you know, it affects our self-worth, self-esteem, you know. For someone that had been in middle management and suddenly you realize your skill is not being recognized, the kind of effect it has. Now, so Dr. Afsat, welcome again to Bold Women on the Move.
And thank you very much.
Conversation on Now That We Are Here. Welcome. So, we'll continue from, you know, looking at coping mechanism. And you did mention in the last conversation that the way we cope with challenges, because we will face challenges when we move to a new country. I like the analogy you used of uprooting a tree and replanting it in another country, in another soil. You never know if the right organism are in the soil, if it's the appropriate soil type. There's just so much. I'm not an agriculturalist, but I know a bit about. And I know why New Zealand biosecurity is very tight. They don't want you introducing anything into their soil. So, about resilience. I want my tree to grow. And I want to get the right type of soil. And we want to talk about coping our mental health. Now, let's talk about what are some of, you know, the extent of struggles that maybe you've had in conversation that migrant women have faced, you know, as regards their mental health. And how have they coped with adjusting and, you know, being able to overcome that part of their life? You know, like, do we really become whole again? You know, do we really develop that coping mechanism to be able to handle those changes and those challenges that come our way when we move?
I think I'll go back to the analogy that I was mentioning about the plant, right? The soil's not the same. So you're going to grow differently. Your challenges are going to be different. And your surrounding network, or you know, what you used to have in your home country, that is going to change around you.
Yeah.
And how you learn to make friends with the new environment, or how you adapt to that new environment, is going to be the biggest thing that becomes very critical for you in terms of, I guess, even in your looking at your mentally, you know, it's very hard. It's very hard because a lot of us struggle with loneliness. We don't know who the right people are to connect with, number one, right? That becomes our first challenge. So we come into this country, you know, if we are blessed to have a good friend network before we came here, then, you know, it becomes very easy. But for some of us, you know, when we come here, we don't know anyone. And I guess that becomes the first part of our journey, is when we come here, where do we find the right connections? And again, what I've heard is often people who do come here and connect with their own little community, you know, of the country that they come from, they've actually had bad experiences with that community itself. Because, or they've had very good experiences because people have just taken care of them so well that, you know, they were like, you know, they're like our family now. And it's happened with us when we came here. We didn't know anybody, and it was just a phone call we made from India by looking at the phone directory to somebody and saying, are you able to just help us? And, you know, it became they became like a family to us, because we came and they hosted us for 5 days at their house. Wow. They took care of us, they fed us, they kept us warm, and we came in the peak winter. So and they guided us. So, and this is a complete stranger helping a complete stranger. But we had a connection of faith. So that was how it happened. But what I hear is also that these experiences sometimes become very traumatizing as well, because you think that you can trust people from your own country, but they actually exploit you, or they give you wrong advice.
Wow.
Or they just don't guide you with the right ways of living here in New Zealand, which is where you struggle and you feel lonely. And you then wonder whether you made the right choice or not. But then now you cannot even tell people in your home country that actually I'm struggling, because they will. I think it becomes a matter of shame, and we kind of feel guilty that, oh my God, we made this big decision of moving all the way across the world. Well, we are already across, I guess, across the world. How am I going to tell my people that actually it's not as great as I thought, because I left there saying so many good things about what this move is going to mean for me. And I've always called it the burden of the immigrant, the hidden burden of the immigrant, which nobody sees, but you do see, you know, around what the initial challenges are. Like, even I'll tell you, even the initial challenges that that I had was just finding vegetables which you are familiar with.
Yeah. Okay.
And it became something like, and, you know, we are talking about 18 years ago. There were very few grocery stores that could sell Asian food or Indian food. And you struggled. You're like, I came all the way here to just eat tomatoes and potatoes because that was the cheapest thing I could buy.
Potatoes, potato.
And it actually stuck. It stuck with me because that was what it would be. Me trying to cook up tomatoes and potatoes in different ways, because we had to manage a budget. Now luckily my husband got a job, so then we are like, okay, we have to make sure we pay the rent, we share the power bill, and it's not cheap. Plus we came in winter, so it was very cold. So that challenge, you know, it dampens your confidence so much. So much that, you know, you just go, and I hear this quite a lot these days from a lot of migrants, because, you know, countries such as India, if I were to just take India's example, you have stuff delivered to you at your fingertips with the phone.
Wow.
And, you know, if you forgot to get a lemon from a grocery store, you just go onto an app and it'll get delivered to you in 5 minutes and it won't cost you a fortune. So, and there is a takeout. There are so many takeouts considering there's such a big population. You can try a different store for 3 meals a day for 1 year and you'll be like,
You haven't exhausted them all.
I know. And that is what a lot of people who come here suddenly realize. And I've heard quite a few people who've said that, oh, maybe it's a good idea. I go back now.
Wow. Wow.
Because it isn't what I thought it was. Mm-hmm. There are a few who choose to stay here because they might have their choice of movement was determined by the idea that they wanted a more relaxed lifestyle, which is what New Zealand offers you. Because you know, when you are in these big countries, there is your life is very fast.
Yeah,
and you're trying to navigate quite a few things, and there's a lot of competition. So when you come here, you then sort of go, okay, this is the life I wanted. It's relaxing. My kids can just walk to school. I don't have to worry too much. It's safe. My kids can go and come on their own. They can use the bus. And I don't have to worry too much. You know, sometimes even... Yeah, and sometimes even I can leave my door, might be unlocked. I forgot to lock it. And when I come back, it's all
security.
Safe and it's fine.
Yeah.
Yes. So the safety and the beauty of the place holds some people here. But the challenges sometimes do push us to the end. And, you know, many of us go, oh, probably not the right place. Or they just moved to Australia. There was such a big article about majority of New Zealanders being moving to Australia and then becoming citizens there because it's much better there.
Maybe because of more people there.
More people, more opportunities.
Yeah. Have there been instances of, you know, real breakdown, mental breakdown of, you know, migrant women? Have there been those instances? And maybe we should also touch on the fact that if there are people finding it difficult to cope, are there support systems that you feel are available that they can, you know, have conversation with and help them with deal with such?
Yeah. Yes, I think one of the things that we kind of realize, and that again came through from the leadership course, was when most of the women who came along to the sessions, the biggest comment that usually comes at the end of the first day or the first session of the leadership course is that this network or this group felt like home and I didn't have to wear any masks.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, which tells you that there are a lot of people, women who wear masks to survive, which is again, I think okay and not okay depending on which circumstances.
It puts a pressure on you to wear a mask. It puts a pressure on you.
So then you are thinking about okay, what are the challenges? And if it does come up, and it has happened in a couple of our courses, that women have found out that they are dealing with depression and have many challenges. So what I do in the course is ask them to go and seek external support, which is, you know, a professional counselor, because, you know, we don't provide those services. There are registered service providers who do that. And I think there is more and more diverse network of professional counselors that are available out there, which allows people to get expertise. One of them is a lady who was on a course, and she works for an organization called Diversity Counseling.
Oh, okay.
New Zealand, which is based out. I don't know where it's based out. I think it's pretty much global, which helps people from diverse backgrounds to navigate challenges. So, you know, people who are looking for some kind of support might be able to reach out to diversity counseling. Or again, within the local GPs, you know, there are a lot of steps that people need to go through before they actually go to a counselor as well.
Especially when you consider ethnic women background, you know, we are not so open, you know, to, you know, recently I watch a lot of Nigerian movies and they're always, you know, because, you know, movies are also a medium of educating people. And you always see them advocating for go for counseling. You know, there are issues and they're actually really putting in counseling sessions into movies these days, which is a way of reorientating people's mind. Now, it's not only people that have difficult psychological issue or psychiatric issue that need to seek help, that everyone, you know, need a form of support in that area. Are you aware, is there any, you know, like aside the organization that you just mentioned, is there any like organization that provide like free services, counseling services for migrant women?
I don't think there is anyone which provides free.
Oh, okay.
You, if you're working with an employer, you can seek support through the EAP program, which is the Employer Assistance Program. I think that's what it's called. But often that would be just a few number of sessions that are paid for by the organization.
I think it's three sessions. Yeah.
Yes. So, and that's just covering the surface. It's not getting into the depth of the issue, which is when you need to now then decide where do you want to go to seek further advice. Mm. And that is where I guess it becomes a barrier for a lot of women, especially migrant women, because they think a lot about the family's finances.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And the last person they will spend money on is themselves.
Which is so true.
And I think being a migrant woman myself, I think that way as well. And it's not something bad or good. I'm not judging that, but I'm just saying how we think. Mm-hmm. And that actually puts a lot of challenges. And in fact, one of the masterclasses or sessions which we did last month with Sharon Gardner, who has worked very hard to get herself registered. She tried to do that with migrant women. And the feedback we got from that was, can we have more of these sessions?
Okay.
And, you know, there is an increasing need for, I think what happens is seeking out a counselor or a psychologist is still a taboo in our cultures.
Yeah, I know.
Women don't want to go and do that. But they'd rather just sit in a circle and have a conversation, which helps them just take out their frustrations or share their challenges and have a cup of tea together. And actually, it works out fine.
It's therapeutic for them.
And it works out fine for them. And that is just going to help them get through probably that next barrier that they're going to go through. But it certainly doesn't replace the need for psychological support, which obviously comes from professionals. And that is where we've found that for a few of the women who did go out and seek that was what they needed. And they had a lot of other challenges that they had to navigate. And you can't identify that, because most of the time we try to deny those kind of things.
That we need those things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even just the fact that we do hold on to some traumas or anything we might have from our past experiences, we hide them away, but actually they are still hiding in that closet. And sometimes they will just be holding on. And when they come to our course, it becomes a big challenge for them. And when they share it, they realize that, oh my God, what has happened? It's happened recently in one of my consulting work that I'm doing, where I'm doing another leadership development course with a completely different set of women. So while it is migrant women which have this, this is another group of women who again held on to a lot of things and didn't share. And it just happened that a guest speaker who came along was talking about something, and it triggered something completely different for this person. And there was no way she was stopping with the emotional outpour that she was having, and she had to walk out of the room. So it tells you that there are a lot of things that even we don't know we hold on to.
So women out there, we need to look after ourselves. We need to seek support. We need to seek sometimes professional support, counsel. It's not a taboo. It's not a bad thing. Okay. It's also a form of looking after ourselves. And if we find ourselves finding it difficult to cope, even if it is just the EAP, a plan, you know, that is available in your place of work, that will still go a long way to have a conversation with someone. Thank you, Dr. Asset. Let's quickly look at, I think we have just about two things to look at before we wrap up this second session. And the first thing is, I want to talk about cultural adjustment. We've talked about career. We've talked about, you know, mental challenges. Let's talk about culture. The migrant woman comes from an intrinsically entrenched, strong, how do I say it? Well-established generational cultures. You know, our culture hold the way we dress, the food we eat, the way we sound. And we come, and I think that's one of the adjustments that we had to make when moving to a new country. What has been your experience, you know, working with migrant women when it comes to we adjusting to culture in a different country? What has that panned out as for us?
I think culture...
It's a broad concept. Yeah, I know.
It is a broad concept, but then I think what we all, I think majority of us who come from collectivist cultures, which is, you know, we take care of each other and are very strong knit in our families or in our communities, you know, our neighbors, we have a lot of things with our neighbors. You know, neighbors are very close. And then our families and extended families, you know, there's a gathering every day pretty much in our cultures at home, right? It's a very social environment. And sometimes some of us escape that and come here because we just want some peace. But what happens is when we come here, culturally, I have seen that a lot of communities have built their own ways on how they want to keep their culture alive through the setting up of different, you know, entities like the Indian society or the Japanese society or the Chinese society. That provides some element of satisfaction to us. And, you know, and we enjoy, you know, when they do this festival, you know, there's Africa Day as well that happens, isn't it? Yeah. And there is the Diwali festival.
Attend the next one.
There's the Eid festival, which happens. So all of us have tried to create this little home away from home, which helps us with that. But if we were to go to the other side, which is now about what is the Kiwi culture? Because, you know, we've come into this new place and now we have to adapt to the Kiwi culture as well, because majority of the time we are exchanging viewpoints or are interacting in our workplaces with Kiwis or Kiwi or New Zealanders, if I were to say that. What does that look like? Because, again, within the New Zealand culture, I think there are two elements here. Isn't it? There is the European culture, which came along when the settlers came in from the French ones or the British ones. And then there is the Maori culture. And what I have felt and what I've done as part of some of the work with some podcasts on Planes of Media again is our connectedness, where I tried to explore the similarities between Asian and Maori culture. You'll see that there is also a lot of similarities even with the African culture. You know, even though Africa is very big with more than 50 countries, there are a lot of similarities in those traditions or those practices with Maori, more than the European cultures, because of whatever reasons. Because I guess the history of migration was that we came across from oceans across, you know, from wherever life started, then migrated. And the stories will be pretty much similar in terms of what we believe, how the world started, or how we believe we need to treat our elders, how we need to respect food, how we need to respect nature, and all of those elements. So I feel it's far more easier to connect for us as migrants when we come to Maori culture than to connect with European culture, even though, you know, we come from India, which was a colonized nation for about 200 years. But still in our hearts, we feel our culture is a little bit different.
From the British
culture. From the British culture, because, you know, we've learned that. But when we come here again, you know, we are trying to navigate these different cultures and trying to move across these different places and spaces. And I guess it's a challenge and a blessing, is that when you come to New Zealand, you're now interacting with many other cultures as well, because you've got people from all across the world here. So you're not just dealing with your culture. You are dealing with Asian culture, you're dealing with African culture, you're dealing with South American culture, and you've got your local New Zealand culture as well. So you are actually going to find challenges. So I just tell people, go easy on yourself and don't be too hard. And try to absorb what you can learn from these interactions. And don't be too harsh in judging others as well.
Other cultures?
Yeah, don't judge other cultures as well. You know, I think what I do understand, even after, you know, from whatever I have learned in life, is that at the core, we are all human. So if we just start with the basic understanding that we are human and we all deserve respect, it's a good way to begin. Yep. That relationship with whoever you are starting that relationship with.
You're right. We are all human first, and irrespective of our cultures, there is always something to learn from others, and there's always the need to show kindness at all time. Let's wrap up with the Lady Khadija's Trust Initiative. I've made mention of the fact of attending the Ethnic Women Leadership course, and I know that there are other projects, you know, you're always birthing projects, you're always birthing things. So, yeah, what's up your sleeve? What's going on? You know, just tell us about, share, you know, with women out there, what the Lady Khadija Trust is all about, some of the things you've done in the past. You know, just a general invitation to everyone.
So the Lady Khadija Trust has been there for now 10 years. So we'll be celebrating our 10-year birthday.
You did? Oh, I didn't get an invite.
No, we were still planning.
Okay, good.
but we set up the charity with the whole intention of compassion. Okay, compassion is key when we are trying to work with anyone. And that's when we said that, okay, we want to work with other organizations which are doing good work and support their work rather than go and compete for resources and do the same thing. As a consequence of that, what we started to see was that there were some gaps about things that were not addressed. Like the first one was interfaith conversations. There was a little bit of a gap around interfaith discussions, around understanding that, you know, how actually faiths can be an opportunity to build bridges. So that is one of our key things that we do. Every 2 years, we do an interfaith dialogue event. And then through the various interactions, I started to see that migrant women who come to New Zealand have a lot of challenges. Mm. You know, they for all the reasons I've mentioned, they have their confidence impacted. They start to feel lonely. There are many barriers that they have to navigate. So out of that came the need to develop the Ethnic Women's Leadership course, which is now transformed into a full program where, you know, it's about leadership. It's also about supporting migrant women with the mental health issues, in the sense that we are not a certified body or providing mental health, but we just create opportunities for connections. So then women can connect with each other. We have been working with enterprise development opportunities, in the sense that helping women who want to set up their businesses connect with other women who've already set up their business. So they come and do like a speaker series and share about their barriers and their challenges. The most significant one, I think, that has come out from everything that we've been doing with the Ethnic Women's Program is the idea of politics and advocacy. You know, many of us want to are facing issues and want to do something about it, but we don't know how to go about doing it. So out of that came the idea of developing some specialized courses on politics and advocacy, in the sense that where are the bits of change that you can make? Because often, you know, majority of us believe that a protest is the best way to achieve change. But there are other ways on how you can bring about change. And you just have to think very strategically and have a little bit of foresight on how you want to navigate that. So that's why we are providing that in the next few months, actually. And then we've got our annual conference, which helps, you know, again, bring together a lot of different women to come along. And you were there last year at our conference. Yeah. It's not last year, this year. At the conference. And we'll be having a magazine coming out soon, which will be showcasing, again, our women.
Oh, great. Wow, you've got so much up your sleeve. Yeah. Lady Khadija Trust is definitely making impact among the migrant women, the migrant community. And I'm glad to have been associated, you know, with some of the programs, you know, that you have put up on board. And I'm sure there will continue to be relationship between us. So that is it from us today. Any last word, Dr. Afsat, to wrap up this session? Any last thing to say?
I think in the context of everything we have spoken of, Morenike, I think anyone who's listening to us, I would just like to say, when you go through those challenges, remember to, number one, take care of yourself. You can't pour from an empty cup. And second is be kind to yourself. You know, give yourself little grace, because you've come so far. And you'll be able to get through what comes next. Just be patient.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And you are here. You are here. So you've got to make the best of it, of your opportunity. And it gets easier, though. So just know that it gets easier with every aspect of things. Eventually, the plant will adjust to the soil. The soil will adjust to the plant.
And we will cry.
Yeah, and with time, there will be fruits. So, yeah, let's continue to hold on. I like that analogy. It's a really beautiful analogy about moving. So that is it from us today. It's been a cool evening. Relaxed somewhere, you know, having this conversation with Dr. Afsat. And that is it from us on Bold Women on the Move, another part of this project on Now That We Are Here. Thank you, Dr. Afsat, for coming.
Thank you so much.
I'm sure there are future conversations that we will have. So, and I'm sure you'll be willing to join us again. I know you're a very busy person, so it's all good. So, We will be patient to always have you.
Thank you so much, Maria. Yeah, thank you for having me.
We will come your way again on Bold Women on the Move. It is bye for now.
Thanks for joining me, Morenike, on Bold Women on the Move. I'd like to thank the Rata Foundation and Ministry for Ethnic Communities for their grants which made this show possible. You can help grow the show by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Bold Women on the Move on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who you think will appreciate this conversation. New episode come out every second Friday at 11:30 a.m. on Plains Media 96.9 FM and plains.org.nz. You can also follow Bold Women on the Move on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more great content. We'd love to hear from our listeners. And if you have a story to share, please reach out. Details are in the show's link tree, which you can find wherever you're hearing this. Until next time, keep moving boldly towards your dreams.